You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. Thanks, Eric, for being with us. Can you tell me a little bit about the system that just rumbled through? It was kind of a unique one, I believe.
Well, it was unique because we have not seen a legitimate low pressure system, you know, with a central low pressure with an upper level trough like this. I think I got to go back to April before I've seen one. So, you know, when these kind of systems come through, it's one of these things where everybody gets a drink. And so we basically just added on top of all the rain we've had in June, a whole bunch more. And it's making June look very, very wet. So June's going to finish hot and wet because of this system. We actually had some pretty strong storms that rolled through parts of Iowa and Illinois recently too. And my folks right now are driving through right up Interstate 39 through the middle northern part of the state. And they have sent me bunches of texts saying we've seen lots of damage to corn, just corn laid down flat because of the strong winds. Now, the hope is it wasn't green snap. The hope is that it turns right back up. But, you know, we've seen some damage out of this. So we've had a lot of rain, which you think would be a great thing, but some wind damage. And we're not done. We've got another system coming on Monday. So there's while we're kind of stuck in this cooler pattern with an upper level trough, we have a second pulse coming through on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And that's just going to be another round of rain for the Corn Belt. So we're certainly going to finish June on a wet note. And certainly it's been a stormy note, and this has been a big change, right? Up until now, it's just been thunderstorms, no big organized lows, and now we've had two of them in a row. So that has been the big pattern flip that's been of concern, and something that we had to watch.
Yeah, so I know that you watch the weather all the time. What else have you been pondering over the last several days?
Well, I'm always concerned about how we get into pollination. So we know that we're, you know, anywhere between 250 and some locations well over 300 grain degree day units ahead of normal since May 1st. And so that's allowed this crop to really grow fast. It's allowed it to, you know, to really get through its vegetative stages quickly. We got some that are going to tassel here very, very soon. We'll have a lot going to tassel before we get into the month of July. So when I start thinking about that, my thoughts immediately go to, do I see any ridging in the middle part of the country? Because if we get those temperatures back up into the upper 90s, we keep those low temperatures overnight, you know, well above 70, that's just uncomfortable for corn. And the corn plant, you know, will try to preserve itself and try to be more comfortable and not put all of its energy into making grain. So what we're watching is it looks as though by the time we get toward the end of June, the beginning of July, that we're going to be setting up a pretty decently sized ridge over the Great Lakes. This ridge will kind of extend east over the eastern United States. And then the models, both the European and the GFS, have this tracking back west with time. Now, that means we're not going to get away from the warm temperatures. It's going to be hot. Will it be stressful hot? That's up in the air. But the two things that are most important with that heat are the fact that the ridge is retreating west. That's number one. And number two, the Gulf of Mexico stays wide open. Now, what does all that mean? Well, if that ridge keeps retreating to the west, which means it's going to go right over the Corn Belt, bringing in some heat, we will get northwest flow again, which means more thunderstorms. So when I look at the long-range models, what I see out of them is a wet pattern extending, you know, into the beginning of the month of July. So more thunderstorms, hit or miss, ridge-riding thunderstorms, but we got the heat, we got the moisture in the soil. So our big question is, you know, how long can we carry this? With our soils right here in Illinois, you know, how long can we, if we did get dry, would it even matter at this point? So I don't see a cool pollination time period, but I do see a wet pollination time period. So that is, that's how we're going to start things off as we get into the month of July.
It'll be interesting to see the soil water holding capacity across the whole of the Corn Belt. I know here in our part of the world it's really high, but there are other places that not so much the case. You mentioned both that it will be hot and wet. And that oftentimes, especially the further south you go, causes some problems as well.
Yeah, it does. And so things I'm worried about for farmers here in Illinois and Iowa and Indiana, you know, I'm worried, you know, with this much rain, what did we do to the nitrogen in the soil? You know, I'm not a nitrogen expert, but I can at least know. I know what happens if we get a lot of rain. You know, for places that have some standing water, are we going to be getting some hypoxia issues? And with a wide open Gulf of Mexico, does that possibly push some fungal pressures farther north? I'm just saying these things to get farmers to look for it and think about it as something that's an issue. But, you know, when I look longer term, let's just go ahead. Let's talk about the rest of July and August here as we finish this up. I'm looking for good analog years. And one of them that I found that I'm going to have to spend the weekend researching is 2010. That was also a year we got ahead on growing degree days. Then June turned wet, but then things kind of shifted in the month of July, and we had some trouble with really warm overnight lows in July and August, which then took the top end off of the yields. Our analog forecasting system is not giving a clear picture. It is not, and it is certainly different from what the long-range dynamical models say. The long-range dynamical models want to dry things out in July and August, and they want to bring in some heat. The analogs want to keep everything west of the primary Corn Belt in terms of heat and drought stress. So what I'm saying is this is going to be a July where we're going to have to just every day keep a close eye on the two-week forecast. What's it saying? How are things evolving? And just remember that, you know, oftentimes when the markets sniff out rain, you know what they tend to do. So I think that'll be the major things I'm going to be watching. If you ask me, I think that the summer's going to finish warm. I think that the summer is also going to see a wide open Gulf of Mexico for most of the summer, and therefore a lot of hit or miss thunderstorm activity. So it's going to be one of those summers where, you know, some folks who don't get the storms will probably have some big yield issues. And if we're not managing our nitrogen well, and if we have some fungal pressures, that could also knock the top end off. And again, you and I, every week, we've got to be talking about these overnight lows once we get into July and August. I think that'll be key for us to watch very closely. So it's a lot. And this is one of those interesting summers that brings what you think it needs, which is the rain, but it could also bring some other troubles with it.
We'll be glad to have you helping us out to watch that. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you too.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible.